Reading from Startide Rising by David Brin, Chapter 3, Takata Jim. High in the port quarter of Streaker's spherical control room, a Psi operator thrashed in her harness. Her flukes made a turmoil of the water, and she cried out in trinary, "The inky, eight-armed squid heads find us! Ripping pods of them do battle!" The operator's report confirmed the discovery made by the neutrino detector only minutes before. It was a litany of bad news related in transverse. "They scream and lust to win and capture." From another station came a calmer bulletin in dolphin-accented Anglic. "We're getting heavy graviton traffic, Vice Captain Takata Jim. Gravitational disturbances confirm a major battle is forming up not far from the planet." The executive officer of the Streaker listened to the report quietly, letting himself drift sideways slightly in the circulating currents of the command center. A stream of bubbles emerged from his blowhole as he inhaled some of the special fluid that filled the ship's bridge. "Acknowledged," he said at last. Underwater, his voice was a muted buzz. The consonants came out slurred. "How far away is the nearest contact?"
5 AU, sir. They couldn't get here for at least an hour, even if they came hell-bent.
Very well, then. Remain in condition yellow. Continue your observations, Akia Kamai. The vice captain was unusually large for a neofin. Thick-bodied and muscular where most of the others were sleek and narrow. His uneven gray coloring and jagged teeth were marks of the Stenos subracial line, setting him and a number of others aboard apart from the Tersiops majority. The human next to Takata Jim was impassive as the bad news came. It only confirmed what he had already feared.
"We had better inform the captain, then," Ignacio Metz said.
The words were amplified by his face mask into the fizzing water. Bubbles floated away from the tall human's sparse gray hair.
"I warned Kredegi this would happen if we tried eluding the Galactics. I only hope he decides to be reasonable now that escapes become impossible."
Takata Jim opened and closed his food mouth diagonally, an emphatic nod.
"Yes, Dr. Metz, now even Kredegi must recognize that you were right. We're cornered now, and the captain will have no choice but to listen to you."
Metz nodded, gratified.
"What about Hikahi's team? Have they been told?"
"I've already ordered the prospecting party back, even if the sled might be too much of a risk. If the Etis are already in orbit, they might have means to detect it."
"Extraterrestrials," Metz corrected, automatically professorial. "The term Eti is hardly polite." Takata Jim kept an impassive face. He was in command of the ship and its crew while the captain was off watch, yet the human treated him like a fresh-weaned pupil. It was quite irritating. But Takata Jim was careful never to let Metz know how much it bothered him.
"Yes, Dr. Metz," he said.
The man went on.
"Hikahi's party should never have left the ship. I warned Tom Orley that something like this might happen. Young Toshio's out there, and all those crewfen out of contact with us for so long. It would be terrible if anything happened to them."
Takata Jim felt he knew what was really on Metz's mind. The human was probably thinking about how terrible it would be if any of Streaker's crew got themselves killed away from his sight, out where he was unable to judge how they behaved for his behavioral and genetic studies. "If only Kredegi had listened to you, sir," he repeated. "You always have so much to say." Was a little chancy, but if the human ever saw through Takata Jim's respectful mask to the core of sarcasm, he never gave it away.
"Well, it's nice of you to say so, Takata Jim. Very perceptive. I know you have many things to do now, so I'll find a free comm line and awaken Kredaki for you. I'll break the news gently that our pursuers have followed us to Kethroop."
Takata Jim gave the human a deferential nod from high body stance.
"That is kind of you, Dr. Metz. You do me a favor."
Metz patted the lieutenant on his rough flank as if to reassure him. Takata Jim bore the patronizing gesture with outward calm and watched as the human turned to swim away. The bridge was a fluid-filled sphere which bulged slightly from the bow of the cylindrical ship. The main ports of the command center looked out into a murky scene of ocean ridges, sediment, and drifting sea creatures. The crew's web-lined workstations were illuminated by small spotlights. Most of the chamber lay in quiet shadows as the elite bridge personnel carried out their tasks quickly and almost silently. The only sounds, other than the swish and fizz of recycled oxy-water, were the intermittent click of sonar pulses and terse professional comments from one operator to another. "Give Kredaki his due," Takata Jim told himself. "He has crafted a finely tuned machine in this bridge crew." Of course, dolphins were less consistent than humans. You couldn't tell in advance what might cause a neofin to start unraveling until you saw him perform under stress. This bridge crew performed as well as any he had ever seen, but would it be enough? If they had overlooked a single radiation or psi leak, the ETs would be down on them quicker than orcas upon harbor seals. The Finns out there in the prospecting team were safer than their comrades aboard ship, Takata Jim thought, somewhat bitterly. Metz was a fool to worry about them. They were probably having a wonderful time. Takata Jim tried to recall swimming free in an ocean without a harness and breathing natural air. He tried to recall diving in deep water, the deep water of the Stenos, where the big-mouthed, smart-aleck, shore-hugging tersiops were rare as dugongs. "Aki," he called to the ELF radio operator, the young dolphin midshipman from Calafia, "have you received confirmation from Hikaki? Did she get the recall?" The Colonial was a small tersiops variant of yellowish-gray coloration. Aki replied with some hesitation. He still wasn't used to breathing and speaking in oxy water. It required a very odd dialect of underwater Anglic.
"I'm sorry, Vice-Captain, but there's no reply. I checked for a monopulse on all channels. There's been nothing."
Takata Jim tossed his head in irritation. Hikaki might have decided that even a monopulse reply would be too much risk. Still, confirmation would have taken from his back an unpleasant decision.
Sir?
Aki tipped his head down and lowered his tail in respect.
Yes? Shouldn't we repeat the message? There's a chance they were distracted and missed it in the first time.
Like all dolphins from the colony planet Calafia, Aki was proud of his cultured Anglic. It apparently bothered him to have trouble with such simple sentences. That suited the vice-captain fine. If there was one Anglic word that translated perfectly into trinary, it was smartass. Takata Jim didn't care for smartass midshipmen. "No, comm operator, we have our orders. If the captain wants to try again when he gets here, he's welcome. Meantime, attend to your post."
Aye, sure.
The young dolphin spun about to return to his station, where he could breathe from an air dome instead of gulping water like a fish. There he could speak like a normal person while he awaited word from his closest friend, the human Mitty, out in the wide alien ocean. Takata Jim wished the captain would come soon. The control room felt closed and dead. Breathing the fizzing, gas-charged oxy-water always left him tired at the end of his shift.
had never seemed to provide enough oxygen. His supplementary gill lungs itched with the irritation of defied instinct, and the pills, the ones that forced extra oxygen into his system through his intestines, always gave him heartburn. Once again, he caught sight of Ignacio Metz. The white-haired scientist clutched a stanchion, with his head thrust under a calm air dome to call Kradaki. When he finished, he would probably want to hang around. The man was always hovering nearby, watching, always making him feel he was being tested. "I need a human ally," Takata Jim reminded himself. Dolphins were in command of Streaker, but the crew seemed to obey an officer more rapidly if he appeared to have the confidence of one of the patron race. Kradaki had Tom Orley. Hikahi had Gillian Baskin. Brukida's human companion was the engineer, Suesi. Metz would have to be Takata Jim's human. Fortunately, the man could be manipulated. The reports on the space battle were coming in faster on the data displays. It seemed to be turning into a real conflagration over the planet. At least 5 big fleets were involved. Takata Jim resisted the sudden urge to turn and bite something, to lash out hard with his flukes. What he wanted was something to fight, something palpable instead of this hanging pall of dread. After weeks of fleeing, Streaker was trapped at last. What new trick would Kradaki and Orley come up with to get them away this time? What if they failed to come up with a plan? Or worse, what if they contrived some squid-brained scheme that could only get them all killed? What would he do then? Takata Jim mulled over the problem to keep his mind busy while he waited for the captain to come and relieve him.